Still quite warm in here, isn't it? Tea and coffee will be here shortly. But first, I'm afraid, you have to listen to me for a few minutes. But I want some tea and coffee too, so I'm not intending to speak too long this morning. We all have a wide range, I guess, of expectations at different points in life, at different situations that we face. So, using a very, very topical example, has already been mentioned, I think, at least two or three times this morning. We think about this afternoon, 3 o'clock. What is our expectation? Well, it may be that. Of course, that was the last result. We should be confident, but is that a realistic expectation for us to have for Germany, England? I'd suggest possibly not. If you're a visitor here this morning, perhaps this is your first time here and you've never been to this church before, and Phil and Louise invited you and said, do you want to come to church, to this dedication service, what was your expectation of what that was going to be like? Maybe you thought something like that, and you thought, wow, I'm going to go to an amazing building, and you ended up here instead. Although we have redecorated this week. We don't do that every time we have a dedication service, but it just so happens that it's been a little bit repainted and things like that. We like repainting and repenting, actually, as well, at the same time. And, but maybe you thought that was your expectation. What was your expectation of the service itself? Now, Paul has already sort of taken us through what went on this morning. And how we were saying that what happened was not Benjamin becoming a Christian. That's not what we've been doing this morning. And if we were to ask Phil and Louise and say, what is your expectation for Ben? I don't know, would it be accurate in a sense to say their expectation is for him to become a Christian when he's older? We can certainly say that their hope, their desire, their passion is for Ben as he grows up to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ for himself. But why? Why have that desire? Why have that hope? Why have that passion? If we were to go out to the streets of Kingston and do a little survey and find some parents and say, what is your hope? What is your desire? What are you looking for your children? Sure, we get a wide variety of different answers back. Perhaps for them to be healthy, for them to be successful. Perhaps you want them to grow up to be sort of well-liked, to be popular, to have lots of friends. We want them perhaps to be caring, to be considerate to others. How many people would say, my hope, my desire, my passion is for them to come to know Jesus? There's a whole host of reasons why that is Phil and Louise's prayer this morning, and the prayer of the whole church as well. But I just want to give us one reason and one verse, which it really is, it's the words of Jesus himself. And this is Jesus speaking in the Gospel of John. And he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We could say all manner of different things about what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. But these are his own words. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I think a lot of people's perspective often on Christianity and Christians is that it's all about kind of, you know, the life to come, the hereafter. And Christians are like, a little bit like Peter Crouch. They're always walking along with their head in the clouds. But that's not the case. A little ripple there. Red, white, lovely. Of course, Christians look ahead. As we sang in that song, there is a higher throne to the glory that is heaven. But Christians also want to engage and to enjoy the life that God has given them down here. And Jesus says he came that we may enjoy life in all its fullness. And this is something that Phil and Louise have discovered for themselves as Christians. They've come to know Jesus, and they know that living for him is the best life anyone can experience. And therefore, naturally, they want their children, Amy, Emily, and Ben, to experience that for themselves. But what does it mean to live life to the full? It's a great kind of expression, I suppose, but what does it really mean? And again, we could be here a long time, really kind of unpacking it. We're not going to do that. But just two thoughts for you this morning. What is the great thing about the life that Jesus brings? The first is this. It is life with a purpose. One of the great questions that people have is, well, what is the meaning of life? What's my purpose? What is the point to the day-to-day grind sometimes of life? People want to know, am I just here just to kind of, you know, work hard for 5 or 6 days and then sort of, you know, live for the weekend? What is the purpose that we have in life? I'm approaching 35 years old, and so when I was a lot younger than I am now and I had a computer, I had an Amstrad 464. Anyone have an Amstrad 464 computer here? And no, obviously, a few people, wonderful. And you'll know that if you had an Amstrad computer, the games were on tape. Like none of these, not you know, internet or disk, they were on tape. And you'd set them to load, then you could go away, have a bath, read a book, have a weekend in Barcelona, sort of come back and it would still be going. And the games, they were not as sophisticated as they are now. Some of the games I used to have a lot were sort of what they called text-based adventure games. Okay, that was text, just so you hear that properly. Okay, but text-based adventure games. So there's no graphics, no character you're kind of moving around, there's just words. And so what kind of happened is you sort of come up on the screen and it would say something like, you have entered a room. There is a table in the middle of the room with a stale piece of bread on top of it. In the corner, there is a goblin. What would you like to do next? Examine goblin. Are you sure you want to do that? Throw bread at goblin. You do not have any bread. Pick up bread. Throw bread at goblin. And so it went on. But one of the frustrations of these games is you just be kind of wandering around and you're trying to work out exactly what it is you're meant to do. And you just quickly discover that the programmer, they know exactly what it is they want you to do. Okay, they've sort of done all the programming, they've kind of set out where everything is, all the different puzzles that you have to kind of complete. And a lot of the time, sort of going through, trying to sort of second guess what the guy who created this game kind of wants you to do, and sort of how he thinks, and then that way you can finally complete the game. I didn't complete very many of those games. They were very, very difficult. But for a lot of people, that's what life can be like. You're going through life, and in a sense, you're not entirely sure what you're meant to be doing. And what happens is people go through life perhaps aimlessly, moving perhaps from job to job, maybe moving from place to place, looking for true and lasting satisfaction. But what we need to do actually is to come to know the person who is the creator of all life and is creator of our world. And I'll suggest to you that until we can actually do that, we will always be in some measure dissatisfied with life. We'll never have true meaning and purpose to our life because we have been made to love and worship the Creator. That's why you can go anywhere around the world and you'll find people who worship. They don't all worship the same thing, admittedly, but there is this deep-seated desire within humanity to worship. It's there. It's been there from the beginning. Why? Because we find our true satisfaction, we find true purpose and meaning in life when we do what we were meant to do. And that is to worship God. You would never go to a kind of a car repair place, sort of sort out your brakes and your clutch and things like that, and order a Big Mac and fries, I'd imagine, unless you're feeling a little bit mad and crazy. Because that place, what do? Their job, their role, their purpose is to fix your car. We actually managed to get someone once to ring up a car repair place and get them to order food because we basically told them, anyone heard of Brake Brothers Frozen Food? I think they call it a different name now. Basically, someone's job, and their job was to order some food. And rather than giving them the phone number for the frozen food place, we gave them the phone number for something called Mr. Clutch, which is, as the name says, a car kind of place, and we said, ring up, ask for 4 trays of frozen vegetarian lasagna, but make sure you ask for Mr. Clutch while you're doing it. And these two girls were a bit gullible, didn't put the connection between brake and clutch, and they rang up Mr. Clutch, and from the other end, hello, this is Mr. Clutch. Yes, can we have 4 trays of vegetarian lasagna? And I will say that Mr. Clutch is a very rude man. So don't go there if you want to have your car repaired. He was not impressed. But he was thinking, why is someone coming to me with this? This is not what I'm here for. This is not what we can do. And what is the purpose and point of humanity? We are to worship the God who made us. And if we do that, then we discover life with purpose, life with meaning, life to the full. And as I said, it is the prayer of the church here that Benjamin, as he grows up, will come to know real meaning and purpose in his life. We don't want Ben to grow up and kind of just sort of wondering, what am I here for? What am I doing? We want him to know meaning and purpose and to come to know Jesus for himself. Second thing, though, this is the last of two, is a life of freedom. Now, freedom is not often a word people associate with Christianity. Okay, because people often sort of look at Christianity and Christians and say, well, being a Christian is all about kind of the things that you're not meant to do. And in fact, I often find that when someone, you know, discovers for the first time that I'm actually a Christian, so the immediate phrase after that is, oh, I guess that means then that you don't agree with that, or that you don't do that kind of thing. And it's kind of very interesting. I don't know if, if you're someone who's experienced that, or maybe you're kind of the person who said that to Christians. I don't know. But I used to get that quite a lot. Oh, that must mean then that you really don't like that kind of thing. That's the perspective people have on Christians. But what is it that Jesus said? Let's remind ourselves, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus wants people to enjoy the life that he has given them. And we enjoy our life when we are not enslaved to various rules and regulations. And that's basically what religion is. A set of rules and regulations that seeks to kind of enslave us and take away our freedom, because then we kind of feel, well, I need to do these things, I must do these things, if I'm going to get right with God. It's like a big sort of cosmic game of Simon Says. Instead of it being sort of Simon Says, religion says, okay, well, God says this, and you've got to follow these different rules and regulations. As long as you do whatever God says, you're okay. If you don't, you're out. That's how the game works. But listen to these words of Jesus. Or sorry, words spoken about Jesus, rather. It's the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians. And he says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And that kind of seems like, I guess, a bit of an odd phrase for someone to say. Two uses of the word free there. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Well, that seems a bit obvious, doesn't it? But actually, on that occasion, he's speaking to people who got a little bit messed up, a little bit confused. They'd become Christians, and yet people had now sort of come in and were saying, okay, it's great that you know Jesus, but you must also follow these particular rules and regulations. Do this, don't do this. And so Paul had to remind them and say, hold on a second. That's not why you came to know Jesus, to follow rules and regulations. You came to know Jesus because he has set you free. That is what it means to become a Christian. So what does this freedom entail? What does this freedom look like? Does it mean that Christians can, in a sense, do whatever they want, whenever they want? Well, no, because that's not actually real freedom. Imagine living in a country where people could do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, with no boundaries and no restrictions. It would be a nightmare. No one would really want to live in a place like that. What does Christian freedom really look like? Well, in our reading and in our songs this morning, we've already seen this imagery that Jesus gives us of Jesus being a shepherd and us being like sheep. Now, here in Surrey, we may kind of grapple perhaps to take a rural illustration on board. There's not too many sheep around here. I've not seen any recently anyway. But in the context of John chapter 10, when Jesus speaks about giving life to the full, he's been teaching about himself being the good shepherd who looks after the sheep. That's what he does. And so you think about sheep out on the hillside. If you've ever been to Wales or other exotic countries like that, and you've seen sort of the sheep out there on the hills, you'll know that they have a tremendous amount of freedom in terms of which grass they want to eat and where they can wander around and things like that. But at the same time, there are boundaries put in place to keep them safe and for their own good and for their own benefit. And that's exactly how it is with Jesus as the Good Shepherd. He comes and he frees us from having to go through our life thinking to ourselves, am I ever going to be good enough to get to God? Jesus frees us from that. He frees us from that fear. He frees us from that worry. Because Jesus came that we may have eternal life, life to enjoy down here and life to come in heaven. Not on the basis of following religious laws and rules and regulations, but on the basis of what he has done for us on the cross. He came to set us free, but he also leads and guides like a good shepherd and says, you are free, But you know that there are some things which are better for you than other things. You know that there is a good way to live your life, to treat other people. And there are things which will not help yourself and will not help others. So there is freedom. There's also within that freedom, in a sense, those boundaries of safety that keep us living in a way that is for our good and for our best, because that is what a good shepherd does. And we read it in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Look at the wonderful things that the shepherd does. What else could the sheep possibly want for apart from that? He can rest in green pastures. He's kept safe. Quiet waters restores my soul. It is a wonderful, wonderful place to be. And as we said, that is Phil and Louise's prayer and their heart for Ben, that he himself will come to know the freedom that is in Jesus. That his life will not be characterized by this fear of what will happen to me when I die. Have I done enough to get right to God? Get right with God. Their hope and their prayer is that Ben will know that Jesus came to put them right, to put him right with God, so they can he can live a free life, knowing freedom and purpose and meaning. And at some point in the future, Ben will be old enough to understand that for himself. And so the promises that Phil and Louise have made to bring him up to know the Bible and to pray for him as he gets older, he will have all the information he needs to examine the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. To actually to look into the Bible for himself and ask himself the big questions. Is this true? Are these really the words of Jesus? If Jesus really said this, then I have to respond in some way. And ultimately, that's where we all need to come to in our lives. If you're sitting here this morning and you're understanding what I'm saying, hopefully, then you are capable of understanding who Jesus is and what he has come to do. Why not examine the claims that he has made and this offer that he has given to give life in all its fullness? If you're dissatisfied with life, come to Jesus. Ultimately, life will always dissatisfy us in some way or form. Because if our satisfaction is not found in the Creator, then it is found in created things. And as you very quickly learn, as we all learn, created things, whatever they may be, they never last. They always crumble, they decay, or they get stolen, or we lose them, or something happens to them. There will always be a measure of dissatisfaction as long as our life's focus is on created things rather than the Creator, the Lord, who is our shepherd. So can I challenge you this morning? If you've never really thought about these things before, then do think about the claims of Jesus. We run a course here at church called A Question of Faith. It lasts for 5 weeks. Each evening is about an hour, hour and a quarter long. I always say this, people will laugh when I say this, but there are cream cakes available, or anything more healthy as well, if people would prefer that, but I prefer the cakes, to be quite honest with you. It's a 5-week course, and exploring the basics of the Christian message, but also, as the title suggests, an opportunity really to ask any question that you may have about the Bible, about Jesus, about what we as Christians believe. No question is too easy, no question too difficult. Happy to answer any questions that people may have. So why don't you just think this morning about whether that course could be for you. If you want to ask anything else, maybe informally, then I'll be on the door after the end of the morning service. But this is the church's prayer and desire for Ben, that he will grow up learning about Jesus, and one day he'll come to know Christ for himself, and he will know life to the full. I'm just going to pray together. So just bow our heads and pray.